Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 1.
The House will come to order. Members-elect for the 2023 House of Representatives, please occupy the seats to which you have been assigned. Visitors, please repair to the lobbies and galleries. The acting sergeant-at-arms will clear the aisles and close the doors. Please be in order and silence all electronic devices. Welcome to those assembled here today and to all those who are watching or listening. Pursuant to law, you have assembled at this time and place for the convening of the regular 2023 biennial session of the General Assembly. I request that all members-elect and guests in the chamber who are able, please rise for the opening prayer, which will be offered by the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd. Representative Shepherd, you are recognized.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come here today to open the 2023 session of the North Carolina House of Representatives, we thank you for the opportunity you have given us to serve our state and to make a positive impact in the lives of the people of the state of North Carolina. We thank you for the General Assembly staff and all the hard work that they do each year, and we pray that you will bless them this year as their families. We pray for your wisdom and guidance for each member here today, and may we turn to your word to lead us and guide us while making decisions that affect so many people. Remind us that we are servants of the people. May all that we do bring honor and glory to God, our Savior and Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for the presentation of the colors by the North Carolina National Guard Honor Guard. The gentleman from Chowan, Representative Goodwin, will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. The gentleman may approach the well of the House and proceed.
I'm going to take a humble minute to explain something about the Pledge of Allegiance. In the state of North Carolina, when I went to school, we pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America every morning. We had to do it the proper way, and the teacher would always say, "Attention, salute, pledge."
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The national anthem will be sung by Sergeant First Class Kevin Quinones of the United States Army, 82nd Airborne Division.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the Rockies' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night night that our flag was still there. Oh, say those that star-spangled banner yet wave. O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
The House will now proceed to organize. Please be seated. The Secretary of State, being the custodian of the North Carolina election returns, has deposited with the principal clerk for inclusion in the journal a complete certification of all members elect as evidenced by the abstract of votes filed in that office under the hand and seal of the clerks of Superior Court of several counties of the state and the State Board of Elections. This will eliminate the necessity of individual filing of election credentials with the principal clerk. The names of persons so certified as being elected shall be called in numerical order by House districts. As your name is called, please stand, answer present, and remain standing until the roll call is completed and the oath of office is administered. At this time, the acting reading clerk will read the certification of election.
State of North Carolina Department of Secretary of State. The 2023 North Carolina House of Representatives. I, Elaine F. Marshall, Secretary of State of the State of North Carolina, do hereby certify that the State Board of Elections Tuesday, the 29th day of November, A.D. 2022, in accordance with Chapter 163 of the General Statutes of North Carolina, at which time the Board did open canvass and judicially determine the returns and votes cast in the election held on Tuesday, November 8th, 2022, and certify to me that the persons duly elected as members of the House of Representatives from the various representative districts comprising of more than one county and all others have been certified to me in the abstracts by the State Board of Elections as having the highest number of votes cast in the elections for the House of Representatives from districts composed one county only for the General Assembly of 2023, to wit. 1st District, Edwin C. Goodwin. 2nd, Ray Jeffers. 3rd, Steve Tyson. 4th, Jimmy Dixon. 5th, Bill Ward. 6th, Joe Pike. 7th, Matthew Winslow. 8th, Gloria Steen Brown. 9th, Timothy Reeder. 10th, John Bell. 11th, Allison A. Dahl. Present. 12th, Chris Humphrey. Present. 13th, Celeste Kearns. 14th, George G. Cleveland. Present. 15th, Philip Shepard. Present. 16th, Carson Smith. Present. 17th, Frank Eiler. Present. 18th, Deb Butler. Present. 19th, Charlie Miller. 20th, Ted Davis Jr. 21st, Yalu. 22nd, William Brisson. 23rd, Shelley Willingham. 24th, Ken Fontenelle. 25th, Alan Chester. 26, Donald McDowell White. 27th, Michael H. Ray. 28th, Larry C. Strickland. 29th, Renetta Alston. 13th, Marcia Morey. 31st, Zach Hawkins. 32nd, Frank Sullivan. 33rd, Rosa Gill. 34th, Tim Longus. 35th, Terrence Everett. 36th, Julie Von Hafen. 37th, Erwin Paré. 38th, Abe Jones. 39th, James A. Robertson. 40th, Joe John. 41st, Marcia Savona. 42nd, Marvin Lucas. 43rd, Diane Wheatley. 44th, Charles Smith. 45th, Francis Jackson. 46th, Brenda Jones. 47th, Gerard Lowry. 48th, Gerald Pierce. Garland Pierce. 49th, Cynthia Ball. 50th, Renee Price. 51st, John Sauls. 52nd, Ben Moss. 53rd, Howard Penny. 54th, Robert Reeves. 55th, Mark Brody. 56th, Alan Bunsey. 57th, Austin Clemens. 58th, Amos Quick. 59th, John Hardister. 60th, Cecil Brockman. 61st, Mary Price Harrison. 62nd, John Faircloth. 63rd, Stephen Ross. 64th, Dennis Rydell. 65th, Reese Purtle. 66th, Sarah Crawford. 67th, Wayne Sasser. 68th, David Willis. 69th, Dean Arp. 70th, Brian Biggs. 71st, Kenita Brown. 72nd, Amber Baker. 73rd, Diamond Staten Williams. 74th, Jeff Zinger. 75th, Donnie Lambeth. 76th, Harry Warren. 77th, Julia Howard. 78th, Neil Jackson. 79th, Keith Kidwell. 80th, Sam Watford. 81st, Larry Potts. 82nd, Christian Baker. 83rd, Kevin Crutchfield. 84th, Jeffrey McNeely. 85th, Dudley Green. 86th, Hugh Blackwell. 87th, Dustin Hall. 88th, Mark Belk. 89th, Mitchell Setzer. 90th, Sarah Stevens. 91st, Kyle Hall. 92nd, Terry Brown. 93rd, Ray Pickett. 94th, Jeffrey Elmore. 95th, Gray Mills. 96th, Jay Adams. 97th, Jason Sain. 98th, John Bradford. 99th, Nasif Majid. 100th, John Audrey. 101st, Carolyn Logan. 102nd, Becky Carney. 103rd, Laura Budd. 104th, Brandon Lofton. 105th, Leslie Harris. 106th, Carla Cunningham. 107th, Kelly Alexander. 108th, John Torbett. 109th, Donnie Loftus. 110th, Kelly Hastings. 111th, Tim Moore. 112th, Tricia Cotham. 113th, Jake Johnson. 114th, Eric Agger. 115th, Lindsay Prayer. 116th, Caleb Rudo. 117th, Jennifer Capps Buck. 118th, Mark Pless. 119th, Mike Clampett. 120th, Carl Gillespie. In witness whereof I do hereunto set my hand and affix my official seal. Done in office in Raleigh this 13th day of December 2022, Elaine F. Marshall, Secretary of State.
The chair declares a quorum present. The oath of office will be administered by Chief Justice Paul M. Newby, North Carolina Supreme Court. Mr. Chief Justice, you are recognized.
As I said, what a treat it is for me to be with you. Before you place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. Those of you that know me know I like to at least talk a little bit about why we're getting ready to take our oaths today. One of the first acts of this body in 1777 was to pass an oath statute. Now, why would they have done that? Well, our Constitution of 1776 had an oath provision in it. Not only did it have that oath provision in it, but it had just been passed a month beforehand by this body. Our 1776 Constitution had two different parts to it. Today they're merged together in one document. But we had a Declaration of Rights, which was a statement of certain fundamental inalienable rights that are given to us by Almighty God. And then the second part had to do with the structure of government, which included the formation of this body. We've got an emergency here.
Chief Justice, please suspend. We need emergency personnel on the floor, please. Emergency personnel on the floor, please.
AED.
Control Center 1, LP Garage.
members of the House. The House is going to remain at ease for a short period of time. If you all will bear with us, please, you guys can take your seats. So again, the House will be at ease. Conversations are acceptable. And of course, there can be conversation in the gallery as well. The House will be at ease for a few minutes.
Hey, Jane.
And guests, we're going to go ahead and begin the proceedings again in about 5 to 10 minutes. So if we could have the members and the guests come back to order at this time. Conversations are still permitted, but we would like to clear the lobbies around the chamber and get everyone back in the chamber at this point so we can continue the proceedings for opening day. So if all the members will please approach back into the chamber, I will also ring the bell too. So if you know anybody who's off the floor, please get them to come back in. We will resume in roughly 10 minutes. Additionally, members and guests, Representative Brisson is doing okay. The Speaker has given me an update that he is doing okay. So for those of you who are concerned, as we all are, Representative Brisson is okay, and he is in appropriate medical hands at this time. So thank you for your patience. The House will come back to order. Members and guests, we are joined by Representative Brisson. He will join us for the oath of office. Mr. Chief Justice, you are recognized.
Thank you. At this time, I am going to administer the oath. If you would have your family members holding the Bible, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. At the very beginning, I'm going to get you to state your name. It'll sound strange, but I want you to state your own name. And then there are actually two paragraphs in the oath itself, and I will end up both of those paragraphs with, so help you God, and you say, I do, or I do, so help me God. Okay, now, left hand's on the Bible, raising your right hand. Do you please state your name? Solemnly and sincerely swear that you'll support the Constitution of the United States, that you'll be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of North Carolina and to the constitutional powers and authorities which are or may be established for the government thereof, and that you'll endeavor to support, maintain, and defend the Constitution of said state, not inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States, to the best of your knowledge and ability. So help you God. Amen. And do you swear or affirm that you'll well and truly execute the duties of the office of a member of the North Carolina House of Representatives, according to the best of your skill and ability, according to law, so help you God. Congratulations. Thank you for your willingness to serve.
Members of the 156th session, congratulations. Please be seated. Now that you have been seated as members of the House of Representatives, the first order of business is the election of a speaker from your membership. I will now detail the voting process. In the absence of adopted rules, the House is governed by usage, custom and precedent, and the general parliamentary law. The best evidence of what are the established usages and customs are the rules as last in effect. It has not been the custom of the House of Representatives to allow members to pass on a roll call vote. The election of Speaker requires a majority of members present and voting. An answer of present at the time your name is called is not a vote. No member may vote unless the member is in the chamber when the question is put to the body. And with that, I declare the floor open to nominations for Speaker of the House of Representatives. For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, seek recognition?
I rise to place the name of Representative Tim Moore of Cleveland County before the House as a nominee for Speaker of the House of Representatives.
The member has the floor. You may approach the well of the House and proceed.
Mr. Clerk, members, honored guests, family, and friends, the last 12 years have been historic in many ways. Today we have the opportunity to add another historic moment to the annals of the People's House. Interestingly, it was in 1979 when Representative Carl Stewart overcame a century-old tradition of one-term speakers when he won a second term. During those times, some folks designated the Senate as the upper chamber. Later, Representative Liston Ramsey served for 4 terms as Speaker of the House. Prior to today, no speaker has served more than 4 terms. During his tenure as Speaker, Tim Moore has shown in word and in deed respect for all who have served here. In his first term, he stated, quote, "This chamber is a great institution, not because of the building where we are, but because of the people who are here." He stated further, "Whether it is your first term or your 10th term, it is always an honor to be here." He has a deep knowledge of and sincere appreciation for the efforts of past generations who have served in this chamber. He has enduring respect for this chamber and has been persistent in dispelling the myth of the upper chamber being located across the rotunda. His record reveals his unwavering dedication to the proposition that this General Assembly consists of 2 equal chambers. When needed, he has shown with real grit his determination to promote the will of this chamber. The entrepreneur Jim Rowan observed, "The challenge of leadership is to be strong, but not rude. Be kind, but not weak. Be bold, but not a bully. Be thoughtful, but not lazy. Be humble, but not timid. Be proud, but not arrogant. Have humor without folly." Representative Tim Moore sufficiently fits that mold. Benjamin Franklin advises us, "If you would not be forgotten, as soon as you're dead and rotten, either write things worth reading or do things worth writing." For 8 years with Speaker Moore's leadership, the People's House has done things worth writing. Mr. Clerk and members of the House, it is my honor to nominate my friend, the gentleman from Cleveland County, Representative Tim Moore, to serve as the Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives for the upcoming 2023-24 biennium session.
And for what purpose does the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, seek recognition?
Mr. Clerk, I rise to second the nomination of the member from Cleveland County, Representative Tim Moore, as the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
The member has the floor. You may approach the well of the House and proceed.
Mr. Clerk, members of the North Carolina House, families, and friends, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to second the nomination of my friend, Representative Tim Moore, for Speaker of the House. As I look around this body today, all of your smiling faces, this occasion and our state's rich history is not lost on me, and I know it's not lost on you. Every one of us in this room today will be a part of electing the longest serving Speaker of the North Carolina House. It's especially great for me to be here because today, my family couldn't be here. You know, turns out when you stay here long enough, they grow up, and he started driver's ed this week. Can't miss it. But I have my godson with me, Duncan Remick. Duncan is the son of my chief of staff, Clark, and his wife, Jennifer. So we celebrate with all of our families and friends, and some are watching at home, and some are just calling in and wishing us good luck. Duncan was very excited to stand in and be a part of this day. And he's also playing with his dinosaurs over there and having the best time of his life. Tim was first elected in 2002 and began serving in 2003. And I remember Tim's first day in this house very well. It was actually the first time I ever attended a swearing-in. And I was in the gallery, just right up there. And it was an exciting day, much like today. And it was a little different, but I'll tell you a little bit about that. But Tim and I had known each other since college. We met serving, ironically enough, in the North Carolina Student Legislature. For those not familiar with that organization, college students from all across the state participate in a model General Assembly. They write bills, they debate them, and ultimately learn about the work we do here in the General Assembly. So it's fitting that we should work together here in this august body. But just like you were here today, I was with Tim and many friends, and we celebrated his swearing in, and his boys were little guys, and I remember that. I remember seeing the family on the floor. Everybody was excited, and they were just small guys. Those guys are sitting in here today. They're not small guys anymore. They're grown up. But it was a little different. In fact, unprecedented. Because that was the session where North Carolina made a little different history when the body elected dual speakers. We don't have that kind of excitement today, thankfully. It's by no mistake or happenstance that Tim Moore should be the longest serving speaker. Through the role of speaker, it sometimes calls for you to be stern, but Tim doesn't preside with a heavy hand. Instead, you're more likely to see a big smile on his face, even when it's intense, as it sometimes gets. To our new members, you'll find we are like family. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we fight, sometimes we even cry. We celebrate birthdays. Sometimes we celebrate and remember those who have passed on, and we do it all here in this house. Regardless of party, you'll find it does not matter. You're forming lifelong friendships, and that matters a lot. You don't get to see that in the press. That's not exciting. It's not what gets reported. But you'll find that you will form those friendships too. And it's especially nice to have a friend like Tim Moore be our speaker. Every now and then you have to appeal to dad. You might get into a little a disagreement with your friends here in the body. But those are short-lived. And it really matters who leads this body. And, Mr. Clerk, it is my honor to nominate and second the nomination of my friend, Speaker Tim Moore.
Are there further nominations? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Destin Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Clerk, I move that nominations be closed and Representative Moore be elected Speaker of the House of Representatives by acclamation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, I declare the floor closed to further nominations. As required by the North Carolina Constitution, Article 6, Section 5, all elections of the General Assembly shall be viva voce. Members, the question before the House is the election of the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Those in favor of Representative Moore as Speaker will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And the Chair declares Representative Moore duly elected as the 2023 House of Representatives by acclamation. Congratulations, Mr. Speaker. The following representatives are appointed to escort the Honorable Tim Moore, Speaker of the House of Representatives, to the dais. Representative Bell, Chair, and Representatives Reeves, Davis, Setzer, Sasser, Paré, Cotham, Ray, and Willingham, please now repair to the rear of the chamber. The oath of Speaker of the House of Representatives will be administered to Speaker Moore by Chief Justice Paul M. Newby, North Carolina Supreme Court. Again, congratulations, Mr. Speaker.
Do you state your name?
Tim Moore.
Solemnly and sincerely swear that you'll support the Constitution of the United States, that you'll be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of North Carolina and to the constitutional powers and authorities which are or may be established for the government thereof, and that you'll endeavor to support, maintain, and defend the Constitution of said state, not inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States, to the best of your knowledge and ability, so help you God.
I do, so help me God.
And do you swear that you will well and truly execute the duties of the office of Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives according to the best of your skill and ability, according to law, so help you God?
I do.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Please be seated. Good afternoon. First of all, thank you. Thank you for the confidence and for the honor to be able to serve again a fifth term as a Speaker of the North Carolina House. Representative Sain, when both of my sons are up here, you talked about how little they were when we first came. They tower above both of us these days. And I think your son Jax is going to be taller than you as well. So, it's great to see that. Well, again, I want to especially welcome and thank the family members who are here. The 120 members who are here, we'll be here a lot. We'll be here, sometimes we'll be here for many, many hours in this room. But for those, the family members who are here, we know you are a key part of making sure that we're here. The support of families, the sacrifice of family members, and allowing members to run and to serve cannot be overstated. I'd ask my colleagues to join me in us publicly thanking our family members for all of their support. I was also honored. People want to talk about what kind of grit does it take to be a House member. If William Brisson doesn't show you what a tough person it is to be in the House, then I don't know what does. Glad to tell you he was doing better. But even when they wanted to go take him and have him checked out the hospital, he was not going to leave this building without taking the oath of office. So he came back and did that. So anybody wants to try to tangle with William may want to think twice about that, because that's one tough fella. But I hope we'll all be thinking of him in our thoughts and prayers as the days go on. But he was doing well talking and joking, so I think he's going to be there. I won't talk long because I really want this time and this day for each of you to be able to spend it with your supporters, your family, your friends who are here with you today during this important moment. But as many of you who came, many of you who are the returning members like myself and those of you who are new members, you walk in, it's still a different experience when you come in this room, when it's here, when the lights are on and when folks are here and you're actually, it's showtime, so to speak. It's because so much important work is done here, and it's because of the honor to serve in this house. Think about this. This state is about 10.6 million people. And out of, to represent 10.6 million people in the House of Representatives are 120 people. Let that sink in for a minute. 120 folks on this side of the building, 50 on that side, to comprise the legislative branch of government for this entire state of 10.6 million. It's an exciting time to be in North Carolina. We're now, I believe, the ninth largest state, soon to be the eighth largest state. And it's a state that is doing well despite a lot of headwinds that we see thrown at us because of things at the federal level and because of the economy and other things. It's a state that's doing well. It's a state that continues to grow. All of you around this state represent varying communities. Some represent communities where the population is going gangbusters, is growing. Others represent some areas that aren't seeing so much growth. So some of our challenges as we move forward this year and we enact policies, we'll do all we can to make sure that the North Carolina dream of moving forward and growing is something that's enjoyed by everyone around this entire state, not just in urban areas, but also in the rural areas. You know, we have a lot of issues before us. All of you ran on various issues for your constituents back home that folks told you were important, and depending on where you're from and your political views, you may identify different things. But at the end of the day, one thing we all have as a challenge and as a charge is to make sure that we manage this state as efficiently as we can. We take the resources that the citizens of this state give up through taxes, that we spend that money well, that we do it wisely, and that we otherwise allow private individuals to take care of themselves, that we allow the free market system to function, to work well, and that we allow this good policy that we're seeing producing great results in North Carolina to keep moving forward. We will have a number of challenges this year we need to deal with. We know that learning loss is real. We need to continue to invest in education and make sure that all of our students are getting a quality education, whatever that path may be for that child and for that family, the right thing for them to decide, and that they have the access to those opportunities. I mentioned the word access, healthcare access, not only in terms of being able to see a doctor, but also to have facilities all around the state that are there to take care of the sick, take care of those who need those services. We face something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but a behavioral health crisis that is something that is happening throughout the country. I believe that is something we must deal with this session as well. We have to do it. It is affecting so many folks around this state. I want to ask folks to raise your hand and say how many know of someone, a family member, a friend who's dealing with things, you'd probably see a lot of hands go up. It's something that doesn't get talked about, but my friends, it's not only get talked about this session, it's something we're going to deal with. Public safety. We know of all the great things that happen in our state in terms of an economy and everything else. We have to have a safe society. Folks need to be able to operate businesses, live in their homes, not have to worry about crime. We're going to continue to invest there and make improvements and make sure that we do what we can to strengthen our law enforcement and those resources. And transportation. Just about everybody drove here today, I would imagine. Maybe a few did. But we know the challenges that face our state when it comes to transportation infrastructure, making sure we're doing all we can to allow our urban areas and our cores continue to grow, to do so unfettered by barriers such as that, as well as investing in other infrastructure, water, sewer, broadband, all of those things. Now, you notice the things that I talk about are not the things that generally get passions inflamed out there when it comes to political issues. Well, I think that's a fair way to accept this today and to take the challenge of moving forward. And I can contrast this with some of the other things that we've seen happen in legislative bodies around the country in recent weeks where things were charged in a hyper-partisan basis. I'd prefer that we not do that, and I think that we're off to a good start. One good thing about this assembly, and this is particularly for the new members, what you will see, and for those who aren't members, you'll notice there's not a lot of yelling that goes on. Actually, the members of this body have conversations with each other.
Yes, there will be times that we disagree on various items of policy. That's part of the process. But what I've always seen is folks who value the opinions, even those they don't agree with, listen to what folks have to say, have a discussion, and try to come up with a consensus when we can on various issues of the day. My friends, North Carolina is an amazing state, and we have an incredible honor to be able to serve in this state house for these 2 years to do what we can to make North Carolina an even better state moving forward. I appreciate your confidence. I appreciate the opportunity to serve as your speaker. Now let's go to work. Thank you. Next order of business is the adoption of the temporary rules for the body. The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, who the chair designates as the rules chair, by the way, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I place a resolution with the clerk for consideration by the body.
The clerk will file the resolution and assign a number. House Resolution 1, the clerk will read.
Representative Hall, House Resolution 1. Adopting the temporary rules of the House of Representatives for the 2023 regular session.
Representative Hall,
North Carolina next.
Representative Hall has the floor to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, these are our proposed temporary rules. I anticipate us voting on our permanent rules sometime very soon, probably in early February. That's the plan right now. My office has already started the process of negotiating a permanent rules package with Representative or Leader Reeves's office. I'm also working with Representative Lofton. He and I were on a call yesterday, and we're going to continue that process in trying to reach some deal on our permanent rules package. I've spoken to Leader Reeves this morning, and he and I agree that a debate on our rules package will come potentially at some point, but today is not that day. Today is a day for celebration, and I understand Leader Reeves will let you know what his thoughts are on the rules today, but our hope is we can continue to celebrate today, and we'll come back in a few weeks and hammer out a rules package.
Jump from Chatham, Representative Reeves is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and congratulations. And in light of the kumbaya for today, I'll say that I may have some opposition to some rules that we're tempted to adopt, but in light of the fact that we will be discussing these as permanent rules, I again appreciate Mr. Speaker, Mr. Rules Chair, understanding our opposition. And as much as I'd love to regale you with all the opposition I have, I won't do that. So, there you go. Anything I can do to get a clap. Thank you, Representative Torbett. But we do look forward to having that debate. We do look forward to continue to discuss that with you. And so I will be gently and kindly asking our friends to vote no. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of House Resolution 1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 70 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. House Resolution 1 is adopted and ordered printed. Members, our next order of business is the election of a speaker pro tempore from the membership. I do now declare that the floor is open to nominations for speaker pro tem of the House. The lady from Johnston, Representative White, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to place the name of Representative Sarah Stevens of Surrey County before the House as the nominee for Speaker pro tempore.
The member has the floor and may approach the well of the House to proceed.
Mr. Speaker and members of the House, I had the privilege of being tutored by Representative Sarah Stevens during my freshman term in 2017-18. It was difficult for me because I was providing full home care to my 97-year-old father in my home and was unable to be the traditional freshman. Representative Stevens seemed to be conscious that I might need a little TLC, and with her wit and constantly making sure I was caught up on the freshman tribe antics, I got to feel included. I also remember the crazy 2019 session when we benefited from all of her trips to Costco and the extra poundage from her daily treat baskets. I think the time I realized her most caring and determined nature was when she chose me as a rep to work with her on the formation of the Child Wellbeing Transformation Council. Although things were difficult in the beginning, her tenacity and her creativity pulled together a very large group of statewide participants who worked long hours over the next 2 years. The outcome gave the NCGA and the Department of Health and Human Services a model to move forward to assure foster children a better, safer, and more effective program of intervention to align North Carolina with federal policies. Representative Stevens has been a tireless servant in the General Assembly. She has proven through her hard work and dedication to her constituents and this honorable body, and also through her many years of service as an attorney and patient advocate, that she is one of the most qualified individuals to serve us as our speaker pro tempore. When I think of someone who truly works for the people, does not worry about who gets the credit, and inspires us all to work to our highest potential, it is our own Sarah Stevens. She is relentlessly loyal to her convictions, honest in her intentions, and knows how to get the job done. Sometimes she will get you out of the way if you're not letting her do her job too. She's worked to reform the juvenile justice system, defend the rights of the accused and the unborn, and most recently designed a model to restructure the foster care program. She never backs down to what she knows is right. The Speaker relies on Representative Stevens to handle complex matters affecting legislation involving families, children, and the overall state court system. She has been a faithful servant for the people of the 90th District, and Representative Sarah Stevens will serve our Speaker and this honorable body well in the role of Speaker pro tempore of the North Carolina House. I would hope, I put her name in nomination, and I would hope that this body would support that nomination.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Perret, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I rise to second the nomination of the member from Surrey County, Representative Sarah Stevens, as the Speaker pro tempore.
The lady has the floor and may approach the well of the House to proceed.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, honored guests, it is my honor and privilege to second the nomination of my friend, Representative Sarah Stevens, as Speaker pro tempore of the North Carolina House of Representatives for the coming session. I have had the honor of working with Representative Stevens since the first day I walked into the General Assembly as a freshman member of the House. Representative Stevens began as a mentor to me and to the other members of our freshman class by graciously helping us navigate the legislative process, answering all of our questions, and making sure that we, as new members, had the support we needed to be successful in our first term. Sarah Stevens has selflessly served the people of the 90th District for 7 terms. And is a proven, strong, and effective leader in the House. Above all, perhaps Representative Stevens' greatest attribute is how deeply she cares about this state, her constituents, and this institution, the People's House. The grace through which she handles complex matters and her instinctive spirit of bipartisanship is a testament to her talent, integrity, and passion for public service. It is an inspiration to see how much she deeply cares about her work involving the juvenile justice system, families, and children. There is no doubt that she will continue to do a great job as our Speaker pro tem, and therefore it is my honor, Mr. Speaker, to second the nomination of Representative Sarah Stevens for Speaker pro tempore.
Thank you. Are there any further nominations? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that nominations be closed and Representative Sarah Stevens be elected Speaker pro tempore of the House of Representatives by acclamation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, I declare the floor closed to further nominations. The question before the House is the election of a Speaker pro tempore of the House of Representatives. Those in favor of Representative Stevens as Speaker pro tempore will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The chair declares that Representative Stevens is duly elected as Speaker pro tempore of the 2023 House of Representatives by acclamation. The chair directs the following members to escort the Honorable Sarah Stevens to the well of the House. Representatives Bell, Chair, Representatives Reeves, Penny, White, and Pare. Lady is recognized to come to the well of the House. The oath of Speaker pro tempore will be administered by Notary Public and District Attorney Tim Watson.
Your other right.
The other right? That's my husband always says, tell me too, the other right.
Your other right. Do you, Sarah Stevens, solemnly and sincerely swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States, that you will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of North Carolina and to the constitutional powers and authorities which are or may be established for the government thereof, and that you will endeavor to support, maintain, and defend the Constitution of said state, not inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States, to the best of your knowledge and ability, so help you God.
I do, so help me God.
Do you, Sarah Stevens, swear that you will well and truly execute the duties of the office of Speaker pro tempore of the North Carolina House of Representatives according to the best of your skill and ability, according to law, so help you God?
I do. So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was great.
They'll have you sign your original.
Speaker pro tempore, Stevens has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, members of the General Assembly and those in attendance today, for your support and your continued honoring of me. I especially want to thank Representative White, Representative Bray. If I die tomorrow, they can do my eulogy. That's what I want. I also want to thank the Honorable Tim Watson for agreeing to come down and serve as the person to swear me in. Tim and I have been friends for years, and he actually, when he started practice law, he was in private practice, and We were side by side for a while. Now he's on the other side and does a great job as our assistant district attorney. All right, he was an assistant district attorney. He's now the elected district attorney for our area. I thank the young man who held my Bible today. Bill Hart is a civics and history teacher at one of our local high schools. He frequently invites me in as a guest. He's also sent both of his children, two of his children here to serve as page, and one served as an honor guard in one of our events. So Bill has a real passion for the General Assembly, and I'm honored and glad that you came today. My daughter just said, Mom, did you type your speech? Did you write out a speech? Because they hate when I write out a speech because it looks like I'm reading it. So I just took a few notes, and we'll go from there. She said, but Mom, when you speak off the cuff, you get a little too personal. Anybody who remembers a previous speech where I talked about a member's six-pack abs, you know, that happened. And today I could only talk about Zach Hawkins, who said he was going to get six-pack abs, but I don't know where he is in that process. in reality, what I want to talk about just briefly, and I promise, this is not my speech. I thought about this thing for weeks, and here's my notes. So we will be quick. I thought, what are the characters of leadership? And I jotted the notes down last night, and then I got a call from my district attorney saying that, gosh, I can't believe you've asked me to come. And that made me realize that one of the first characteristics of a leader is a leader remains humble. They don't necessarily recognize their importance. Some people go out and say, Representative Stevens, she's the most powerful woman in the state of North Carolina. And I'm like, what? What? I really don't recognize that I have this great power. I recognize that I've got a position that I can help people. A leader is not a boss. The boss says, I did this, I accomplished that, I do that. As a leader, and we are all leaders, so I'm talking to you as a leader of your community. They say, we are going to do this. We will accomplish this. We will work together. A leader communicates. A leader listens to understand, not to reply. And so often we're thinking as somebody talks to us, what am I going to say back? And that's not what we need to do. We need to listen so we can understand the opposite side. And then our reply, we can take a deep breath and think, how do I incorporate what they said to let them know I listened and make a reply? A leader sets an example. And I think the speaker alluded to this a little bit, that we do this. And once in a while, I think we sometimes forget to do this, is to be civil. I'm going to quote a great poet here. Maggie, don't laugh. My daughter will laugh. A great poet here, Zach Brown. Okay? He's got the song about we're all in the same boat. And one of the lines in there is we can agree to disagree. Because we are. We're all in the same boat here. We were elected by the same number of people. We came here to serve. And we can agree to disagree, and we should do it peacefully and civilly. Because we set the example for the rest. We've seen what was going on in U.S. Congress, and that behavior is not always acceptable on either side. But it is an example they're setting for the public, and then wonder why the public acts up the way that they do. A leader also reaches out to others to bring them up, to help them become leaders as well. That's part of that remaining humble and realize that you're not all that. Don't step over or step on people, because those that you step on or step up over coming up are the same people you're going to see when you go down. Reach out to the freshmen that are here. And that's one thing I like to do a lot of, is reach out to the freshmen. I'm happy to try to meet with the Democrat freshmen. I sometimes don't want to feel like I'm stepping on toes, and I'll talk to Robert Reeves about that as his eyes go down, and he's like, I'm not sure I want you to do that. But I've already started meeting with the Republican freshmen, and my job there is to help them become leaders, to help them find their voice. But I would encourage each and every one of you to reach out to some of the Republicans here, the freshmen here, to find out what kind of talents they have, what kind of skills they bring here, and also to let them know what kind of skills you have, what you bring here, how we become friends, how we become special. We all have our own special skills. And finally, one of the hardest things to do as a leader, and even as a parent, because I think of a lot of these leadership skills as being a parent, is to admit when we're wrong. And sometimes we are wrong. My husband would say I'm never wrong. But sometimes admitting when we're wrong and learning to say I'm sorry. That's one of the strongest things that we can do as leaders, is to admit that we're there. I look forward to this next session with you. I hope to continue to earn some of these merits and praise that were heaped on me today. And I thank you for the opportunity to serve for the next 2 years.
Thank you, Representative Stevens. Members, our next item of business is the election of a principal clerk. I declare the floor open to nominations for principal clerk of the House of Representatives. The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized with his assistance there for a motion or for nomination.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to place the name of James White before the House as a nominee for a principal clerk.
The gentleman has the floor the nomination.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For our new members, you may not know the work and dedication that goes into our clerk's office, but I can tell you, whether it's early mornings or late nights, our clerk's office is here to serve each one of us day in and day out. They make sure that this institution runs accordingly. They're always on point. It doesn't matter what political party or what side of the aisle you're from. They treat you with dignity and respect and get you the answer that's needed. And that is why I'm proud to nominate James White for our House Principal Clerk. I ask you to join me in doing the same. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to rise to the second nomination of Mr. White for Principal Clerk.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. And I would second everything that Leader Bell has said. James White is the epitome of professionalism. His office is always there. They're always ready to serve. They always manage to give opinions without sounding as opinionated as we all do, and we appreciate that, but they definitely know this stuff, guide us as much as they can, and it is greatly appreciated because we need that every day. But thank you for your professionalism. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you do for us day in, day out, when we have these long evenings and early mornings, and I'm gleefully and happily second this nomination.
Are there any further nominations? Hearing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that nominations be closed and that James White be elected Principal Clerk of the House of Representatives by acclamation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Chair declares the floor to be closed to further nominations. The question before the House is the election of the Principal Clerk of the House of Representatives. Those in favor of the election of James White as Principal Clerk will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Chair directs that James Clerk is duly elected as the House Principal Clerk for the 2023 House of Representatives by acclamation. Mr. White, please approach your dais. Pursuant to General Statute 120-5, the Speaker of the House is authorized to administer oaths of office to all officers of the House of Representatives. Do you, James White, solemnly and sincerely swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States, that you will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of North Carolina and to the constitutional powers and authorities which are or may be established for the government thereof, and that you will endeavor to support, maintain, and defend the Constitution of said state, not inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States, to the best of your knowledge and ability, so help you God?
I do, so help me God.
And do you further swear that you will well and truly execute the duties of the office of Principal Clerk of the North Carolina House of Representatives according to the best of your skill and ability, according to law, so help you God?
I do, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Congratulations, Mr. White. Pursuant to Rule 45, the Speaker appoints Reggie Seals to serve as the reading clerk for the 2023 session of the House of Representatives. Congratulations, Mr. Seals. Pursuant to House Rule 45, the Speaker appoints Larry Elliott to serve as the Sergeant-at-Arms for the 2023 session of the House of Representatives. Mr. Elliott, please approach the dais. Do you, Larry Elliott, solemnly and sincerely swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States, that you will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of North Carolina, and to the constitutional powers and authorities which are or may be established, the government thereof, and that you will endeavor to support, maintain, and defend the Constitution of said state, not inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States, to the best of your knowledge and ability, so help you God?
I do.
And do you further swear that you will well and truly execute the duties of the office of Sergeant-at-Arms of the North Carolina House of Representatives according to the best of your skill and ability, according to law, so help you God?
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that Rule 52 be suspended so I may extend courtesies of the floor and gallery to special guests.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, members and guests, it is my honor to extend the courtesies of the floor to the family of Speaker Moore and further extend the courtesies of the floor and galleries to numerous other friends of the Speaker. Please help me welcome them today.
The Chair extends the courtesies of the floor to the family and guests of Speaker Pro Tempore Stevens, Leader Bell, Leader Reeves, and to the families of other officers and members of the House of Representatives. Furthermore, the courtesies of the gallery are extended to the many friends and family who have joined us here today. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me get my notes here. Mr. Speaker, I arise to let you know that the Republican caucus is organized and ready to conduct business at the North Carolina House of Representatives. The following are elected and appointed members of the House Republican caucus. Majority Leader, Representative John Bell. Deputy Majority Leader, Representative Brennan Jones. Conference Chair, Representative Jason Sane. Deputy Conference Chairs, Representative Matthew Winslow, Representative Aaron Paré, Representative Jared Lowry. Majority Whip, Representative John Hardister. Deputy Whips, Representative Keith Kidwell, Representative Jake Johnson, Representative Kristen Baker, Representative Jeff McNeely, Representative Carl Gillespie, Representative Steve Tyson. Republican Joint Caucus Leader, Representative Harry Warren. New Member Leader, Representative Kevin Crutchfield, and New Member Whip, Representative Brian Biggs. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. As noted. The gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, is recognized for an announcement as well.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the Democratic Caucus organized, ready to do business. We have Deputy Leader, Representative Ashton Clemens, Conference Chair, Representative Cynthia Ball, Legislative Chair, Representative Brandon Lofton, newly elected whips, Representative Marsha Moray, Representative Amos Quick, and Representative Terry Brown, and freshman caucus chairs, Representatives Ya Liu and Representative Alan Wansey.
Noted. Members, the 2023 House of Representatives has now been duly organized and is ready to proceed with its public business. The Chair orders a special message be sent to the Senate, so advising that honorable body.
Additionally, the next order of business is the appointment of at least today, one key committee chair. The chair appoints Destin Hall, as mentioned earlier, from Caldwell County, to serve as the House Rules Committee chair. Members, we'll be naming other chairmanships prior to the 25th. We'll get that information out, but we're still working through that. Would you like your gavel now, Representative Hall? Yes. The gentleman will approach. You got more applause than I did anyways.
Congratulations.
Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the House of the General Assembly? If so, the clerk will read.
A resolution expressing that the Rockingham County Board of Commissioners hereby support the increase of the lawful maximum civil and or criminal penalties that shall be imposed on individuals who attack and or cause harm to our law enforcement officers, signed by Rockingham County Board of Commissioners.
Noted. Messages from the Senate. Corcoran.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives informing that honorable body that the Senate is organized and now ready to proceed with the public business of the state. The following officers have been elected for the 2023 session. Senator Phil Berger, President Pro Tem. Senator Ralph Heiss, Deputy President Pro Tem. Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk. Mr. Robert Merrick, Sergeant of Arms. Further be advised that the Senate has been notified of the election of the following party officers: Senator Paul Newton, Majority Leader. Senator Tom McGinnis, Majority Whip. Senator Jim Perry, Majority Whip. Senator Carl Ford, Republican Joint Caucus Leader. Senator Dan Blue, Minority Leader. Senator Jay Chaudhry, Minority Whip. And Senator Julie Mayfield, Minority Caucus Secretary. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
Special message from the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 2. A joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain as provided by law.
Pursuant to Rule 32, the resolution is added to today's calendar for immediate consideration. Senate Joint Resolution 2, the clerk will read.
Senator Raven, Senate Joint Resolution 2, a joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain as provided by law. The Senate resolves, the House concurs.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is our adjournment resolution, and pursuant to state law, it adjourns the body until 12 noon on Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. Please vote yes.
And members, this is not adjourning the session for today. This is just to adopt the resolution. Any further discussion, debate? Seeing none, those in favor of the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 2 on second reading will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Sain on the floor. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 2 passes second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
Senate resolved, House concur.
For what purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander Rice.
excuse me. Mr. Chair, I wanted to announce that the Legislative Black Caucus has been organized.
Gentleman has four.
I am the chair for the caucus. The first vice chair, Senator Candy Smith, who used to serve in this body. The second vice chair, Senator George Waddell. Our secretary is Senator Natalie Murdoch. Our treasurer is Representative Amber Baker. Our parliamentarian is Representative Vanetta Alston. And our chaplain is Representative Amos Quick. And our sergeant at arms is Senator Mushaba Mohammed.
Noted. Thank you. Question before the House, passage of Senate Joint Resolution 2 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 2, having passed its third reading, is ordered printed, as well as ordered and rolled. Members, we are now at the point for notices and announcements. Any notices or announcements from the body? For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Ivor, rise?
For special announcement.
Jim is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
So to get out of practice with this. About 20 years ago Friday, besides being Friday the 13th, it's going to be 20 years that my legislative assistant came to work at the General Assembly. And she came to work in 2003 for Don Mumford, who got defeated in the next election. She served with my predecessor from Brunswick in 2005, Bonner Stiller. And when I was appointed and sworn in by Speaker Hackney, she became my legislative assistant. People think she's my adopted daughter, but technically she's not, but we act that way. And it's been a real pleasure, and I appreciate her service. And we're checking to see if she's the longest serving, consistently serving legislative assistant in the General Assembly in history. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you, Representative Bauer. For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker, rise?
Speak to a personal privilege.
Lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to recognize my mother who is with us today. She's 87. She's in the gallery, as well as my godmother who is 89. She'll be 90 in April. And all of my sisters who are here as well as my daughter and my grandson is in the back as one of the pages.
Thank you. We're certainly honored to have him here with us today. Thank you for being here with us. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to recognize the birthday of my seatmate. And if you can tell, she has the new birthday look. And she is raring to go. I asked her how old she was, but she wouldn't tell me. But it was something about having come to the General Assembly on horseback.
You might be in for a rough session this year, Representative Alexander. My money's going to be on Representative Cunningham if anything breaks out over there. For what purpose, the gentleman from Chihuahua, Representative Goodwin, rise?
To ask y'all to honor my mother, who turned 98 years old today. Her name is Gray Goodwin, and her baby boy loves her to death.
That's it. Happy birthday. For what purpose, the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has four.
Fellow members, welcome. Congratulations to all those who won and are back in this body. This is my first time back in the General Assembly in this hall since June. And on behalf of my family, for those who were here last session, we want to say thank you for the grace, for the calls, the texts, even people coming to sit in my living room, as well as all the prayers. Reading each one of those notes during the time when my mom passed and then my son, it meant the world for us to see that this body put partisanship aside and just saw humanity. And so as we continue to move forward and put one step, one foot in front of the other as a family, I wanted to make sure that each of you knew how much your thoughts, your prayers, your outreach, your hugs, Your kind words really have meant to us. Thank you.
So, thank you. What purpose? The gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise.
For an announcement. Speaking of putting partisanship aside, we'll be forming the Sportsman's Caucus, and I invite all members who enjoy the outdoors to join the caucus. I have learned a lot from my experiences at some of the caucus summits that we have every year, but I will be sending a notice out, and I hope you'll join us. Thank you.
Sir, thank you. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 2 and subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1 to reconvene on Wednesday, January 25th at 12 noon.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Bell, that pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 2 and the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1, the House of Representatives do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, January 25th at 12 noon. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned. Ratification of bills, resolutions, the clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following resolution duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of Secretary of State, Senate Joint Resolution 2, Resolution 2023-1, a joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain as provided by law.
Chapter bills will be noted.